John 18. We're going to look at verses 33 through 38. It's John 18. I don't know about you all, but I wish that I got to preach every week with wet sleeves. It's one of my favorite things. John 18, 33 through 38. And this is what it says. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Church, let's pray together. Father, come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for your anointing now. I pray that you would speak truth. I pray that you would be the truth. I'm grateful for what you've already put on display this morning, the way that we've already experienced your glory. I'm grateful that in a world that's dying and there's a lot of trouble, that you're still calling people out of the mire and out of the muck and redeeming them. God, I pray that you would speak today in a loud way. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. In the Greek language, there are two words that get translated from Greek to the English word truth. The first is the word veritas, V-R-I-T-A-S. How many of you have ever seen the movie Tombstone? Anybody? Okay, Val Kilmer plays Doc Holliday. At one point in the movie, Doc Holliday says, "In vino veritas." Anybody know what that means? It means in wine there is truth. The idea being that once a person takes a couple of drinks, you can actually get the facts out of them. The kind of filter comes off, and they then will speak the truth. When we talk about veritas, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about stick to the facts, tell the real story, give accurate information. That's the first one. That's veritas. The second word that gets translated from Greek to the English word truth, the one that I'm more interested in today, is a word with more of a philosophical bend, really, and it is the word aletheia. Aletheia. When we talk about aletheia, we're talking about a revealed truth. It's like there was something that was hidden, there was something that was concealed. Aletheia means that thing is no longer hidden, it is revealed. We're talking about there was something that we couldn't see before, but now thanks to aletheia we can see it. A good example of aletheia would be like evidence being found in a court case. The case is happening, but there's this big piece of evidence that is revealed. Speculatively, maybe like a knife being found on O.J. Simpson's family's property after he leaves it behind. It's about there's this thing that we didn't know, we couldn't see. Aletheia, we have discovered that thing. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says in the Greek, he says, "Ego emi, he hodos kai, he aletheia kai, he zoi." He says, "Ego emi, a hodos kai, a aletheia kai, he zoi." This is the passage where Jesus is saying, church, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He goes on to say, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what I want you to see in that text, what I think is important there, and the reason I share it with you in the Greek, is that when Jesus says he's the truth, he doesn't say he's the veritas. He's not saying I'm a fact, I actually happened. We know that to be true. He doesn't use the word veritas. He uses the word aletheia. And what he's saying is, I am the truth uncovered. I am the truth revealed. I'm the truth on display. I am a great disclosure. I am a great discovery. I have come to reveal things to the world that before I came, the world didn't know anything about. I've come to tell a story that people haven't heard before. I have come to uncover that which was hidden. When we're talking about aletheia, we're talking about something that was hidden, it was concealed. And we have Jesus, our Savior, saying, I am Aletheia. I am something that was revealed, and I have come to reveal this thing to you, to uncover. So the follow-up question to that for us should be, well, what is it that Jesus uncovers? I mean, what is it that He reveals? What is it that because He came, like we didn't know it before, but then after He came and we experienced Him, well, now we get it. Well, I would argue that there are all number of things that He revealed to us. One, maybe a primary one, is He revealed to us the way of salvation and resurrection. Jesus revealed to us the way. He made known the way of salvation and resurrection. John 11, 25 and 26, He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though they die, yet shall they live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Another way to say this would be Romans 10, 9. If you confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus revealed the way to the Father's heart. Through the life that He lived and the death that He died, He made a way for us not to only go to heaven when we die, but He made a way for us to live a meaningful earthly life while we're here. Now, church, I'm not sure if you understand this. I hope you do. But before He came, we didn't know the way. Nobody knew the way. There was no way. He shows up as the Aletheia, as the truth. He revealed the way. He made the way. And then He looked at His followers and He said, follow Me along the way. This is an example. Jesus is the Aletheia. He's the revelation. There was this concealed thing, salvation. It was a concealed. Nobody knew how to do it. But He's this great discovery. Now He comes, He reveals it. It's like uncovering, opening up an incredible present. So He made known the way of salvation and resurrection. That's one way I would argue that He revealed what was concealed. He made known the upside down nature of the world in which we live. He made known the upside down nature of the world in which we live. Here, I want you to be thinking about the Beatitudes. When He said things like, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are the oppressed, blessed are the broken, blessed are those who are looked down upon. He said they may, their experiences on this earth may be hell, but trust Me, one day the kingdom of heaven will be theirs. Or in Matthew 20:16, He later says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. When Jesus came into the world, He redefined success. He flipped success on its head. He essentially told everybody, hey, the way that you think the world functions, it doesn't function like that. The way you think the world does not function in that way. As a matter of fact, sometimes the things that we consider to be our successes, Jesus is going, those will lead to your demise. And the things that we see as failures and weaknesses and great sources of pain, Jesus is going, that may be the very thing that leads to your salvation. Jesus spoke of an upside down world. And before He came, we didn't know that the world functioned like that. I mean, before He was on the scene, everybody's going, well, it's a top-down world. If you have pride, if you have esteem, if you have an acclaim, you're on the top. And Jesus comes and says, no, that's not how the world works. Jesus has, some say, a bottom-feeding bias. He looks down on those who are low and He says, no, the low will be high. His exact words are, those who are humble will be exalted. And those who are exalted, who exalt themselves, will be humble. He made known the upside down nature of the world we live in. He was the Aletheia. He revealed it. Before Him, we didn't know that's the way it was. After Him, we now know this is how the world functions. He made known, this would be the third thing, He made known the power of unyielding faith. He made known the power of unyielding faith. By faith, Jesus overcame the temptations of Satan. By faith, He called 12 ordinary men and He showed them how to change the world. By faith, He cast out demons. By faith, He walked on water. By faith, He made the lame to walk and the blind to see. By faith, He turned the water into wine. By faith, He fed 5,000 people out of one picnic basket. By faith, He forgave people of their sins. By faith, He raised Lazarus from the dead. By faith, He took the nails in His hands. By faith, He took the stripes on His back. By faith, He went to the cross. And by faith, He rose again. By faith, Jesus walked the road that the Father laid out for Him to walk. You know, oftentimes in church, we talk about the importance of having faith in Jesus. We encourage people to have faith in Jesus, and I'm for that. I want you to have faith in Jesus, but more than having faith in Jesus, I would prefer it if you had faith like Jesus. Meaning that the way that He looked at His Father and knew that the impossible was possible, I wish that's how you viewed God. He showed us that. He showed us the power of unyielding faith, the power of the depths of the Holy Spirit, that if we tap into that resource, anything can happen. It's why the Aletheia before Him, there were limits to the way the world functioned. It fit into this way, this standard. After Him, limitless. With God, all things are possible. But we didn't know that. We didn't know it. Jesus revealed it to us. He, Aletheia, He's the revealed truth. This was a truth that He showed before He came. We didn't know it. After, now we know. Oh, all things are possible. Fourth one is this. He made known the depths of God's forgiveness. He made known the depths of God's forgiveness. Even after being beaten and bruised and mocked by person after person, even after being hung on a tree to die between criminals, even after they took the nails and put the nails through His hands, even after they took the crown of thorns and they placed the crown of thorns on His head, even after from the cross He hangs and He watches as they're gambling to see who gets His clothes, even after the bloodied mess that His body is, He looks at His mom who is in tears and He says to her, "Behold, this is your son." Even after He cries out from the cross in thirst and they take a towel and they put sour wine and vinegar on it and they shove it in His mouth, even after all of those things, Jesus looked at the people who defeated, who destroyed His life physically, who destroyed His body physically, He looked at them and He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Man, in that moment, He reveals to us depths of forgiveness that the world had never known. Nobody knew that kind of forgiveness. He revealed it to us. He opened the door. He said, this is what true for you. Aletheia. He's revealed. This was concealed. Before Him, nobody knew that that kind of forgiveness existed. After Him, we now know, oh, that is what true forgiveness looks like. So Jesus, Aletheia, He reveals all these things to us. He reveals the way of salvation and resurrection. He reveals to us the upside down nature of the world. He reveals to us the power of unyielding faith and the Holy Spirit, and He reveals to us the depths of God's forgiveness. He uncovers all these things. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all still with me? This means yes, you tracking? And the really neat thing for me about this before we continue on in the sermon is that every one of these things that He revealed, you know, John chapter 8, verse 32, I think it is, says that if you know the truth, the truth will set you free. You know the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll set you free. Another place saying, "I am the truth. I'm the Aletheia." But He's saying, if you know the Aletheia will set you free. And the cool thing about that is, if you look at every one of those things that I'm talking about, He reveals to us, they all set us free from something. I mean, we talk about He revealed us the way of salvation and resurrection that sets us free from the bondage of sin. We talk about the upside down nature of the world and how it actually functions that sets us free from the desire to pursue social status. Talk about the power of unyielding faith that sets us free from ourselves and our own weak minds that see the world from a certain perspective. Talk about the power of God's forgiveness, and it sets us free from the poison that is deep unforgiveness. Now I want for a moment to call your attention back to the passage of Scripture that we looked at this morning. So Jesus is on trial, right? And He and Pilate are having a conversation. The way it happened, Pilate's the governor of Judea. And what's happened is the Jewish leadership they've brought Jesus to Pilate and they're saying, this guy's claiming to be a king. And if he's claiming to be a king, then he'd be a threat to the emperor of Rome. He would be a threat to Rome in general. And so they want Pilate to do something about it. So in the midst of this conversation, Pilate's asking him, "Are you a king? I mean, I'm not a Jew. I don't understand this thing. Will you explain it to me?" And Jesus says to him, He says, and essentially He's saying, "You don't have anything to worry about because My kingdom's not of this world." He says, "If My kingdom was of this world, My people would be taking it right now. They'd be fighting to get it, but they're not fighting to get it because My kingdom's not of this world. My authority comes from some other place." He then goes on to tell him why he exists at all. He told Pilate, he said, this is the purpose. This is the reason I came into the world. He said, I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and that and everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So you got to have that in mind. You've got this conversation going between this great political figure and Pilate. You got Jesus saying what he needs to be said. Jesus essentially says, look, Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. It's from another world. If it was here, they'd take it. They're not taking it because I don't, my authority doesn't come from anybody here, but it comes from another place. It comes from heaven. You have this exchange taking place. Now, this is the part that I love so much about this text. This is the part that I want you to catch here. So as the interchange happens, as Jesus says what he needs to say, Pilate doesn't realize the weightiness of the moment that he's a part of. I mean, for Pilate, this is just like another day at the office. He has no idea the gravity of the situation that he's in. And so Jesus finishes saying what he's saying. I've come to bear witness to the truth. People are of the truth. They listen to me. And what does Pilate say to him? He asks him a question. He says, what is truth? What is aletheia? It's the Greek. What is aletheia? He said, what even is truth? And church, I can't help but think. Pilate doesn't even give Jesus time to answer. But I can't help but think that underneath Jesus' voice, when Pilate's looking at him, what even is truth? That Jesus is whispering, ego, eimi, hei hodos kai, hei aletheia kai, hei zoi. I'm the truth. I'm Pilate. I'm the truth. I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father unless they come through me. What Pilate didn't know is that he was standing in the presence of truth. What Pilate didn't know is that truth was speaking to him. What Pilate didn't know is that truth was in the room. Pilate was trying to spend his time determining whether or not he should set Jesus free. And the whole time Pilate's trying to decide whether or not he should set Jesus free, Jesus, the truth, is trying to set Pilate free. You understand what I'm saying, church? And church, for me, this is what makes Pilate's question so scary. When Pilate asks him in this encounter, what is truth? The thing that frightens me so much about it is because I believe it shows that we can become so wrapped up in ourselves that the truth can be looking us right in the eyes and we can miss it. I think we can be so prideful, we can be so arrogant, we can be so wrapped up in what's happening to us that the truth, he can be speaking directly to us and we're paying no attention. He can be looking us directly in the eyes and we're not looking, we're not listening. I think we can be in the same room as the truth and completely miss it. We can become so numb to truth that even when it's around us, we do not recognize it. This wasn't just a Pilate problem, okay, but this is a people problem. I mean, have you ever wondered how a lot of church people end up cheating on their spouses? I mean, how do they do that? They ignore the truth. I mean, have you ever wondered how church people, Christians, can spend all of their money on themselves and on their own hobbies? How? They ignore the truth. Have you ever wondered how church people are known for gossiping, bad-mouthing each other? They ignore the truth. What I talked about last week, have you ever wondered why the modern church doesn't look anything like the early church? Because we collectively have ignored the truth. He stands right in front of us. He speaks, and we're so numb, wrapped up in ourselves that we don't even know it. Main thing I feel like God's given me to share to you all today, it's really just a couple of thoughts, and then I'm not gonna talk much longer. One of the greatest things that I think could happen in the life of the church, talking about the church at large and talking about this church, is for us to be a people who, number one, admit and own that Jesus is truth. That when the Bible tells us He's truth, that we believe He is truth. And the second thing would be, and I think this is the most important thing that God's given me to share, that we would stop pretending that we don't hear His voice. This is what I'm asking you to do today, as specifically, as sincerely, as honestly as I know how. Stop pretending like you don't hear Him. Stop pretending like you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Stop pretending that you're not hearing Him give direction to your life and speak authority to your life. Stop pretending that He's not leading you and guiding you and giving you step by step. Stop pretending that you don't hear Him, that you don't sense Him. And don't do what Pilate did. A lot of times what we do is when God tells us to do something and we don't want to do it, we ask some random philosophical or theological question. Well, what even is true? I mean, God's saying, Brock, I want you to go to this college. I want you to follow the Spirit in this direction. I don't want to do that. God, what even is it? What is God? What is truth? Don't use your random questions to squelch the Spirit. Don't use your random questions to silence His voice. Stop pretending like you don't hear Him. I've got the same Holy Spirit that you've got in you. I know that the voice speaks. And we need to get to the point that we no longer numb our ears to what He has to say, because He's right in front of us. And He's saying, hey, yo, hey, me, hey, Oros, guy, hey, Aletheia, guy, hey, Zoe, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Follow me. I don't know what truth it is that God's revealing to you today. I don't know what He's speaking to you. I don't know all of you in that way well enough to know, but this is what I do know. Whatever it is that He is revealing to you, do it. If you hear the voice of God telling you to go, go. If you hear Him telling you to stay, stay. If you hear Him telling you to repent, repent. You say, Brock, how can we know that we should trust this voice? I mean, how can we know that we can trust God? To which I would say to you, look at His track record. He has revealed things in truth over and over again. He has shown things that only God would know. He showed us the way to salvation and resurrection. He showed us the power of unyielding faith. He revealed all of these things to us. If He's always been true, why is He going to decide today with your situation, with your circumstance, to make this the day He's not? If He's always been the truth, if He's always spoken truth, if He's always been the aletheia in the world, if He's always uncovering beautiful, true things, then why with you in your one circumstance would this be the one time that God's going to screw it up? He's going to miss it. What I'm asking you to do today, church, is, man, stop pretending like you don't hear Him. And when you do hear Him, He's the truth. Do what He says. He's the aletheia. He's shown us a better way. Pray with me if you would. I'm finished. Father, we come to you.